Let's thank our worship team one more time and appreciate them for leading us in worship. Is Judy Wilson here? Judy Wilson? Where is she? Stand up, Judy. Everybody say happy birthday to Judy. Let's
happy
sing it to her.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Judy. Happy birthday to you.
There you go. Celebrated birthday with a few hundred of your best friends. It's really cool. What a blessing. It is great to be with you one more time in our final time. I want to say thank you to Mount Hermon for the wonderful invitation. I am just really in love with the Barterwells, who have led us in worship and really has blessed my soul. And to each and every one of you, it has been a blessing to serve you and to share with you and fellowship with you. And I pray that we get together again before we get to heaven. And if not, I hope to see you in heaven. If you can't make that declaration tonight, when I finish, I really do want to offer you an opportunity to put your faith in the finished work of Christ Jesus so that you one day can also say that if we don't see you anymore, we'll see you in heaven. If you have put your faith in him, but because of life, trials, tribulation, and craziness, you know that there's distance between you and God. And you've come here to Mount Hermon, and you sense that God has done something for you to draw you closer to him again. And you'd like on this day, the 18th day of July, to recommit your life to him. We'll give you an opportunity to do that. And then we really want to pray also for all of us here as we close tonight in our final session. You have another session tomorrow morning with Jill, and isn't she spectacular? Yeah. Oh, my God. Just love sitting and listening to her, and she's just so real about how God uses you and leads you in the Spirit. And you really have conversations with him. You know, I want to see the manager. Why do I want to see the manager? That was just, I mean, that is really, really cool. I love when God does that kind of stuff. Well, here's our final opportunity to talk about God's armor in this setting. And I thought it would be good that we would look at the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Everything else that we talk about around God's armor is for defense and protection. This is the only offensive weapon in our artillery. And it tells us, it gives us a great definition of what the sword of the Spirit is, the sword of the spiritual realm, and that is the Word of God. I want to read this text one more time. I hope that you're okay with that, because I just think reading God's Word is very, very powerful. Even though we've read it before, I hope it blesses you again. Ephesians chapter number 6, verse 13 through 17. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth, and for body armor, God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Here's your first fill-in. What is the sword of the Spirit for? Real simple, real easy, to defeat the enemy. There's no other reason to have the sword of the Spirit. It is to defeat the enemy. Now, I think it would be good here that I draw a little caution to some of us who have been in Christianity or been around the church for quite some time. The Word of God is not to beat up people with. Amen by myself. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, is to defeat the enemy, not to beat up people. A man by myself. We've got to get out of the mode of using the word to put people in their place. to do folks in and to do them harm or to bring condemnation or judgment. God's word was never to harm people. It was to defeat the enemy. Lord, have mercy. And I know I said something the other night that challenged some of you in the room, and I don't say stuff to tick people off. I really don't. I have a heart for what God is saying, and sometimes I don't have a lot of time to explain it. But when I honestly said that we don't need to defend God's word, it will stand on its own. What I meant by that is God never meant for us to try to defend him. What God wants us to do is to be sure that we know that our faith in him is secure. And I think apologetics is for us, not for other people. But we have taken apologetics and tried to argue with other folks about it, and we ourselves weren't clear about it ourselves. We weren't certain ourselves. And I got to say this. What is faith if it's never been tested? I like it when people test my faith. It goes on trial, and God always comes out on top. Amen by myself. And the word of God is not something that we've turned it into. God always meant for us to use the word to defeat the enemy, to put Satan in his place. Case in point, this is not my, this is that my, man, I don't have any, I'm just delivering what God has. When Jesus was put on trial by the devil in Matthew chapter number 4, each time the devil tempted him in the three areas, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, God used the word to defend himself. The word to defeat the enemy. The word to put him in his place. And I think we've got to get to that place where we understand the word is not to be argued or debated. The word is actually to defeat the enemy, to tell the devil, shut up, sit down, or come over here and I'll save you, and it ain't written in the Bible where you're going to get saved. Amen. It's just not going to happen. Matter of fact, when you look at Revelation, it says when we look upon him, we're going to say, this is the dude that caused all that trouble. Dude is my word. That's not in there. But this is the one that caused all that trouble. Are you kidding me? Yeah. And the word of God is to defeat him. Defeat him in your mind. Defeat him in every circumstance, every situation. When we're troubled, this is why we need to know the word. So I don't want to hold you long, and I really do want to do those things I talked about. So let's jump into this. Why do we need the word of God? Because everyone, the entire body, needs to be armed. Everyone, every individual needs to be armed. It makes no sense for us to put together an army, and some of us have weapons and others of us don't. And so God has given us the word of God, the sword of the spirit that sits in the belt of truth. He's given us the word of God. So all of us will be armed, because you don't ever know where the enemy, not people, the enemy is going to attack you. You have no idea when the enemy is going to try and to defeat you. And so if you've got the word in your proper place, in a belt holder, on the word of the belt of truth, then you will be armed whenever the enemy attacks. You're not guaranteed that the enemy is going to attack you when you are near somebody that knows the word. You need to know the word for yourself. Hello, somebody. Oh, I'll be fine. Mama knows the word, and whenever the devil comes, I just ask mama for some help. I got news for you. The enemy gonna wait till mama ain't nowhere around, and he's gonna find you, and that's why you need to know it for yourself. Matter of fact, the Bible says that God's word is really, really effective, because the word of God is effective. It is unbelievably effective. It is the same with my word. I send it out and it will always produce fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. That's the word of God. That's the word of God. I was blessed this morning when Jill got up and said that, you know, prayers that work are many times prayers that have been revealed through the Word of God that we begin to pray again. Praying God's Word is what God's will is. And when we pray that, that's something God is inclined to follow. Well, what's so amazing about this, we don't have many tools, but the tools we do have are pretty mighty. And one of them is the Word of God. And it always amazes me, and please, I'm not throwing any stones, how few Christians really know the Word of God. CNN did a study not too long ago, and it amazed me. They put out a couple of statements to see if Christians knew if they were in the Bible. 79% of Christians said cleanliness is next to godliness is in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. Matter of fact, I'm not making this up. 75% of Christians, 3 out of 4 Christians, says God helps those who help themselves. It's not in the Bible. And one of the reasons I honestly believe is because we're not utilizing the tool God gave us. We're not utilizing. I mean, it's cool to have it in the belt of truth so that you can find it. But the best way, the best place to have the Word is in your heart. David says, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you, that I might not sin. It's something that's readily available to you and that you can always bring it out. My grandson is here, Benjamin. Maybe some of you have seen him. Anthony's the little one, Prince Anthony, but Benjamin is 13. We've had Benjamin mostly all of his life. I mean, since he came home, he's been in our home, and so I've raised him. And at 5, Benjamin and I would do the yard together, and he always wanted to use the power tools. He always wanted to. He's 13. He can use them now, but when he was 5, he wanted to use, and I had to keep him back from using the power tools. But it brought me great delight because every man wants to raise a man that wants to use power tools. Can I get a witness in this house? I'm a Black and Decker man. I love, man, when I go to Lowe's or Home Depot, I need adult supervision. Because I could stay in there all day and I'll come out with everything they have in there. And so whenever we go to do the yard, everything comes out. Trimmers, edgers, anything that makes some noise, that cuts and prunes and kills, we bring it out. And when he was smaller, he couldn't utilize it. I had to back him up. And now that he's 13, he says, I can run that. I said, that's not your regular voice. Give me your regular voice. I can run that. Okay, stop messing with me, making me think you're older. Because God, they love using tools. But what amazes me is when it comes to the church, we don't like using this tool. We leave this tool somewhere. Matter of fact, we leave home without it. And it amazes me that we don't have it where it says it's supposed to be in a placeholder in the belt of truth because you don't ever know when the enemy is going to come. And I guess for me, the guy that inspires me the most, I mean, he's just one of my favorite guys is David. He says something about early on in the songbook. The book of Psalms, the songbook, he says something early that blows my mind. In Psalm 1, verses 1, 2, and 3, he gets my attention about the Word of God. He says, oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or stand around with sinners or join in with mockers, but their delight is in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They're like trees planted by the riverbank, bearing their fruit in each season. Their leaves never wither, and whatever they do, they prosper. People who meditate in God's word day and night, they get this guarantee that they're like trees planted by the riverbank. They will always be irrigated. Their leaves never wither. They never dry up when everyone else is drying up. They never dry up. It's amazing to me. And then he says, whatever they do, they will prosper. Too many people have interpreted that. But when you look in the Hebrew, it says that no matter what happens in your life, God will give you the ability to navigate through it safely. Lord, have mercy. Why wouldn't we use the word? And he says, if you're going to be equipped, to fight the enemy. You got to get the word in you because his word is effective. My word will do what I send it to do. This is important to me because a lot of times we want to use theory and concept. We want to hear what other people have done, and we hope that that will work. Well, God says, whatever I send my word to do, it's going to happen. And why wouldn't we take this sword of the Spirit and send his word to do everything he wanted to accomplish? I want that. I really do want that in my life. That's why I love not just hearing the word preached. I love hearing the word taught. I love to teach and to preach. I think we should do both. I think we need teaching for instruction, but also I think we need preaching to get us up off our do-nothings to do something. Amen. I just believe that. But then not only that, that's not only the two ways you can get the word. There's two other words. You can just simply read the word, and it'll get in your spirit. You don't even have to have anything you want to study. Just pick up the Bible and begin to read it and meditate on what you get. And then finally, there's all kind of studies out there that you can do just to study God's word so that you get it in your spirit. So when they wake you up at 3 o'clock in the morning, you don't have to look for it. It's inside of you. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Not only is God's word effective, but his word is, his word, God's word does damage. It does damage. Why would you have a weapon that couldn't do any damage? Why would you take a water gun to a shootout? I want something that's going to make a difference. And I know that God's word makes a difference. Not my philosophy, not my theory, not my concepts, not even my wishful thinking, but God's word does damage. Here's what it says, Jeremiah 23:29. Does not my word burn like fire, says the Lord? Is not it like a mighty hammer that smashes rocks into pieces? Jeremiah was the prophet, and he got a little upset with God and said, I'm not going to do what you want me to do because, you know, I don't approve of what you're saying about the people of Israel, and I think they deserve a second chance. So, you know, I'm just going to sit down on you. I'm going to quit. I'm going to go on strike. Y'all know something about that. You've had a time in your life where you thought about laying God down. Don't look at me like you didn't. And if you haven't, keep on living. It's going to come. And as Jeremiah sat, he couldn't do it anymore. He got back up and he said, God, it's like fire burning in my bones. It's like something that is so intense. Your word is so powerful that I can no longer just do what I want to do. And it smashes rocks into pieces. Jesus is coming along and he's trying to tell the disciples about him. He says, study the word, for in them you think you have life, but it is that which testifies of me, Christ Jesus. And then when Jesus is going along, he says, do one of two things. Listen, either fall on the rock and be humbled, me, or the rock is going to fall on you and grind you to powder. Lord, have mercy. God's word, it's powerful. It's amazing. And so if I'm really going to take on the enemy, I got to have something that I know is going to work. And the only thing that I know that works is God's word. I don't know anything. I don't know anything else that works. There's one fellow in the New Testament, not making this up. One fellow in the New Testament thought he could take on demons, thought he could take on evil spirits. And he had no word in him. And the evil spirit talked back at him. Said, I know Jesus and I know Paul, but we don't know you. And since we don't know you, we're going to work you over. I'm not making this up. And the Bible says they ran him out the house butt naked. Didn't have no clothes on. I'm like, man, if you're going to jack somebody else, could you just leave the clothes on them? If he would have had some word, all he had to do was put the word on the enemy. Hey, I know you don't know Paul. And I know you, I mean, I know you know Paul, and I know you know Jesus. You haven't heard of me because I just got converted. And I didn't come here in my own power. I came here in the name of the Lord. I came here with the word of God inside. Like David, that little shepherd boy, I came here with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel, the one who is the God of this universe. And he says these words, greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. Amen. Back down, booger. Amen. I'm even thinking that maybe we should confront him with the word and not with our own wishful thinking. Maybe you got a child, you got a situation, you got a circumstance in your life. Maybe we should stop playing around and lay the word out. And maybe you need to weep over it. Because if it's not real to you, you're just scheming. If it hasn't penetrated who you are, you've just come up with another ritual, another routine. But if it's real to you, maybe you may need to weep over God's word. Maybe you may need to get in front of the devil and say, yes, you might be winning right now. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Yeah, I may not be winning right now, but God's going to bring me out. So says his word. May this got to get real to you. I once was young. I now am old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I believe God for that. I heard one pastor told me that was David's experience. It wasn't his. I said, but wait a minute. It's in the word. Confess it. A good man's footsteps are ordered by the Lord. In other words, God gives him the direction. He takes delight in every detail. I don't know what's going on in your life, but every detail. Even if that man should fall, he will not fall flat of his face because God holds his hand. A righteous man falls 7 times, but he gets up. Wicked men fall once, and their disaster is the end of them. You shouldn't be embarrassed because you've gone through something. You should be thanking God. Look here. I've gotten up again. There must be something righteous about me. Yes, you've been set aside. You've been picked out. You are peculiar. I want to use his word because it does damage. Not to people, but to the enemy. I don't want to ruin folks. I don't want to harm folks. I don't want to do them in. I want to cut the throat of the enemy who's keeping them from reaching their full potential. And God's word is the way to do it. Matter of fact, I got to bring it to a close. And in this last statement, I'm going to spend maybe a little time here. But one of the most important reasons that we need the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, is because God's word is the weapon of the spiritual world. It's the only weapon of the spiritual world. That's what it is. If you're gonna battle spiritually, you got to have the word. Great ideas and great thoughts are not going to do it. If I'm going to defeat the enemy who has come to destroy my life, if I'm going to defeat the enemy who's come to keep me from being all that I'm supposed to be in Christ Jesus, if I'm going to defeat the enemy who wants to tell me that I'm not a holy people because I'm not perfect, that I'm not a holy people because I don't look like, act like, or talk like other folks, if I'm going to defeat that enemy, I've got to do it on terms of the word and not on my beliefs. Matter of fact, if we took a survey, we're not going to take one. Half the time, you don't even feel holy. Thank you for those two amens. Thank you. Thank you for somebody telling the truth. And when you do, it's suspect. But see, holiness is not a feeling. It's a position. And what people don't understand, it's because of the word, not because of all the great things you've done. None of us have done anything great. It's because of Christ Jesus. Jesus is the one. When we put our faith in him, the word says he marks us holy. Yes. God then stops looking at you for who you are, and he looks through the lens of Jesus, and he sees you. Not only you, he sees me. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that he looks through the lens of Jesus because my faith is in him. Because without him, it wouldn't work. And so when the enemy comes to tell me how bad I am, and I am. And when he comes to tell me how ugly my past, and it is. I just have to remind him, I can't alter my past, but I put my past on the altar. I am now in Christ Jesus. And you're right. I may have done what they said I did, but I am not who they say I am. I'm a child of the King because of his word. Not because of anything I've done. And devil, you've got to back up because of God's word, not because of me. I'm nothing. But his word is great. And look what the unknown author of Hebrews says. He says, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between the soul and the spirit, between the soul and the spirit, between the joints and the marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Yeah. It eradicates them. It exposes them. Things that are not like God, the word comes in and overpowers it. And that's why I got to make sure that when I go into battle, not only should I have on the belt of truth and the shoes of peace, I got to have the sword of the spirit. I got to have the word. I got to know more of the word. I got to figure out how not to just have the word be on pages, but how does it become alive to me? What are the things that I need to do to make sure that the word is real to me? Back in the 70s, as I come to a close, some of y'all may not know anything about this, and some of you may be too young. Back in the 70s, there was a CB craze. Everybody wanted a citizens band radio. And we started putting them in cars and trucks. I mean, truckers have always had CBs, but for some reason, they became available on the open market, and regular Joe's was getting them. My dad got one and put it in the church van. He put it. I'm not jiving. Put a CB radio in the church. And then back then, CB radios had this long antenna. Did anybody remember that? Anybody remember that? It was like 45 feet long. I mean, and you had to tie it down or else it would hit everything. Do you remember this? Am I telling this right? It had a big old knob on you, screwed in and you turn it, you had to tie it down. And then you had all these channels that you'd go on for the CB radio. But you'd have to learn the code, you know, what's your 1020, what's your location. You had to learn all the codes, and I never could learn all of them. But one thing I learned real fast was 10-4. 10-4, I am no longer transmitting, over and out. 10-4, got it, done. We're not talking no more. 10-4, you know, whenever you want to stop talking to somebody, because, you know, you couldn't tell who was on the CB radio. They had great handles, but then sometimes crazy handle. This is Sugar Bear. Really? And so once you get what you want from Sugar Bear, 10-4, cut him off. Amen. Done. Don't want to talk Sugar Bear no more, right? I mean, that crazy name. Sometimes you just didn't know who you was talking to. But you had to learn that lingo so that you could say, this transmission is over. How come the church don't have a 10-4 for the devil? I don't care what you say about me. I don't care how you talk about my life. I don't care how you try to mess up my family. We are done transmitting. 10-4. Shut up. We got a 10-4. It's 2 Corinthians 10-4. Lord, have mercy. I can't make this stuff up. This is real. You can't make up stuff like this. In 2 Corinthians, Paul writing his letter to the Corinthian church, in starting verse 3, he says, we are humans, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy the false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. Devil, you got to stop throwing that junk around. 10-4. We're not transmitting with you anymore. The weapons of our warfare are mighty. They're spiritual. They're powerful. They tear down everything that you try to set up. This is why I say, folks, we don't debate with people. We pray. We use the word. And we use it against the enemy, not against folks. I was so glad Jill said what she said this morning. Christians walking around talking about they can't pray for certain presidents. Who are you? The Bible commands us to pray for him. God will deal with him. The hand of the king, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. And we think we can do something. Only God can. Only God can. The weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. They're mighty. They're powerful. They pull down strongholds, imaginations that have risen that go against the word of God. God brings them down by the Spirit through prayer and his word. Pray God's will. Pray his word. Know his word. Use his word. Wow. And before you go using God's word on somebody else, use it on yourself. Yeah. Yeah. Paul says, I got to be first partaker. Because if I don't, I could be disqualified. I sense God's presence. I know God did not have us come here so that we could leave the same way. I know God would have us come here to God's country, to this place, so that we would become stronger in him. And that when we war now, we won't do it carnally. We won't do it in the flesh. We're going to do it by the power of God. Through the word of God. And our job is not to beat people up and condemn them. Our job is to eliminate the enemy, that evil spirit that wants to control our world. And the first thing that you can do is eliminate him out of your life. I'd like to pray, but I'm going to ask you all over this place and even in the pavilion to just bow your heads. And you do some introspecting, you and God, nobody else, just you and the Lord. Father, it is not us that does the work, it is you. And when you do the work, you do it so well. Your word and your spirit causes men and women to make decisions. Decisions to live for you and decisions to come after you. Decisions, God, to reunite with you. And so, God, for what you have done in the hearts and the minds of men and women, boys and girls this week, I pray now that you would solidify with an outward action. That you would really, really prompt from the heart and the spirit, from the mind, the intellect, an outward decision to follow you. God, just as you taught Gio in that horrible situation, that courage is not the absence of fear, it's action in the face of fear. Would you teach us today, no matter how much we might fear what tomorrow might bring, to have an action that would draw us closer to you? God, if there are people in this room or in this pavilion who are not walking with you, I pray that your word has reached them and that they're willing to make a decision to walk for you. If some were strained in their relationship with you, I pray that they would reunite with you from this week. And God, if there were others who were walking, I pray that they would even seek prayer, counsel to get closer to you. God, would you answer all of these prayers according to your word and your will and by the authority of your Son, Christ Jesus. Every head is still bowed, every eye is still closed. If you're one of those individuals that have never, ever made a decision to follow Christ, but you feel God tugging at your spirit, and today, tonight, you'd like to put your faith in a risen Savior, in Christ Jesus, and you'll let him work out the details. No one's going to startle you, embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. Would you raise your hand and say, hey, Pastor, that's me. I want to put my faith in a risen Savior. Don't put it down. Keep it up. Some other people are going to join you. Don't be embarrassed. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Maybe you've said yes to him before, but you came to this camp distant from him, and now you hear him tugging at your spirit to get closer again, and you want to recommit tonight. You want to reaffirm your faith in Christ. Raise your hand also and say, that's me, Pastor. I want to recommit. Thank you, Jesus. Bless his name. Maybe you're walking with him, but in this area of the armor of God, man, you've fought too many battles in the flesh, and you want us to pray for you that God's going to teach you how to war in the spirit. Raise your hand and say, that's me. Teach me, Lord. Teach me and show me. Father, in this house and in this pavilion, people have raised their hand for you. They've said yes to you for the first time. They've said yes, they want to come home and reunite, reconfirm their commitment to you. And others have said, God, you've got to help me. I'm warring too much in the flesh. I want to war in the spirit. God, would you answer their prayers? Would you answer their prayers? Salvation comes by faith. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. I pray, God, that you would solidify the word in their hearts and in their spirit, and that we, as a born-again army, would change the very fabric, not only of our lives and our family, but of our community in this world, simply because of Christ Jesus. Thank you, God, and continue to do your work in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Lord, use my hands, use my feet, use my life, Lord, make me your voice, faithful and true. Lord, search my heart, search my soul, I am yours, Lord, make me your voice, forever praise.